Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Boys and girls, children of all ages, ladies and gentle thems, welcome back over to Fightful. It is Saturday. It's your girl, Cresta Star. We've got a special guest. Rick is out of the country. Iridian's out of the country. And I'm here with Justin. Everyone give Justin a warm welcome and tell Justin how much you love him. Justin, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be honored to do this. I'm glad I could fill in. If I look a little sweaty, I'm a little under the weather, but Collision was great, so I'm excited to talk about it.
Heck yeah, I'm excited to talk about it with you. And thank you all so much for being here this Saturday night. It's time for Fightful. The best $5 in the business, the best $54 a year if you go ahead and subscribe. Get the scoops from us. You're going to get the scoops from us anyway. You might as well get the scoops from us directly from the sauce. Speaking of the sauce, Collision tonight was a good show. A lot of Blue League Continental Classic tournaments. What were your thoughts overall? Sure. What should I call you? Should I call you Justin? What should I call you, sir?
You should call me Justin. You can call me Justin. Right, Justin. I know most people know me as the Wrestling Classic. I'm the Wrestling Classic on Instagram and everywhere else. But I'm used to Justin. I think everyone knows who Justin is now. So we're here. Yeah.
All right. So what do you think of the show overall, Justin?
I absolutely enjoyed it. I think AEW's been hitting their stride with this Continental Classic tournament. I think in terms of wrestling, they've been given a solid buffet of wrestling. I think today was a perfect example that we got a little bit of everything. And overall, I enjoyed it. I think there's a lot of storyline progression, too, with the video packages and segments as well, which we'll get into.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and leave us a thumbs up. It helps us on the algorithm so more people will see us. Also, if you want to get your question or comments read on air, go ahead and leave us a super chat. It helps fund the channel. And if you want to get a little spicy, you can go ahead and leave us a Humper Chat over on humperchats.com. You put in any dollar amount, any comment amount, and we'll read it online to the best of our ability. If you want wrestling advice, we'll give it to you. If you want love advice, you'll get it, but I don't think you want it. So Let's start off with the opening bumper where they have all the wrestlers come out and only have two notes for this. Eddie Kingston does not like doing these, and why do y'all keep putting the camera in his face?
He looks so disinterested, right? He always looks like, all right, I'll cut another promo. I know you guys think I'm a great talker. This is what I think. I love these intro promos. I love them since Collision started. I think they're really cool. I think it's a good way to hype you up for the big fights of the night. But yeah, Kingston does not look like he enjoys doing these.
Kingston hates this. And also, shout outs to Orange Cassidy for being a confused man at the end. It's like, I don't even know what this is. Everybody else every week says something substantial. Eddie Kingston every week is like, stop putting this camera in my face. Orange Cassidy's like, I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Tony
Khan. I think one of the best thing Orange Cassidy, I forget who he was feuding, but that point where he's like, I don't have a catchphrase. And I always remember that because it's like, everybody usually ends their promos with a catchphrase. I will say this about the Continental Classic, though. I don't know if people have been checking them out on social media, but the promos that these wrestlers that are involved in do, they put on Twitter and Instagram after the fact, have been really good.
Yes.
And really passionate and really creative. And I think it's added a lot of more interest in me wanting to see these matches. Seeing, like, Bryan Danielson cutting these promos where he's in Zen mode, and then he gets all, you know, saying these really evil, like, violent things, but he's all zen, and like the passion is coming from guys like Swerve and Daniel Garcia and Kingston. So definitely check those out.
Yes, absolutely. And we're gonna get our night started off right with our first super chat from Carpe Noctum. I hope I said your name right. D is for Liz Dexia, and that's what I've got. First time popping in live. Fantastic episode tonight, and two women's matches, both substantial and building stories. What have they done with Tony? Well, he saw the show and me and Iridian threatening him. Just to let me bring up this. Every week, me and Iridian be like, it's 9:20. You know what time it is. It's a women's match. Now, we got two women's matches tonight. I am notoriously soft. So the second women's match, this is me watching it. Like, oh, you lucky I gotta come and talk about this later. But yeah, the matches were good. The matches were good tonight.
And just like the overall stories for both matches were great. And like, you even had more women with Tony and Mariah on their end. Mm-hmm. I think Collision this week showcased a lot of women a lot better than we usually see on AEW personally.
Yeah, absolutely. So our first match of the night is the Blue League Continental Classic Tournament match between Claudio Castagnoli and Andrade El Idolo. So I'm going to give you guys the main points. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and hide current comments. I'm a professional, I promise. So let's start with the main points. Andrade's gear tonight, chef's kiss, that blue, black, white combination, loved it. Also, the entire theme of the night was Nigel McGuinness wants to fight Bryan Danielson, because not 2 seconds into this match, Nigel McGuinness is complaining about Bryan Danielson, who's not even in this match. He's a hater, and it's coming from the same promotion that has Stokely Hathaway employed. It was a power versus power match. You have in the middle of the match where Claudio Castagnoli Irish whips, sorry, where Andrade El Idolo Irish whips Claudio Castagnoli, other way around, I promise I'm a professional. Tranquilo is the point I'm trying to make. Claudio dips on a pair of double knees that were going to be given to him from Andrade, and he ends up messing up his knee after that. Andrade then takes off the turnbuckle and only for to get a two from a cascading powerbomb from Claudio Castagnoli. This match was power for power. At the end of the day, at the end of the match, we end up getting Yam Bag City. And Andrade cheated. Andrade cheated. That's the long and short of it. Andrade cheated, but so has BCC. What are your thoughts on this, Justin, so far?
I thought, didn't Claudio hit him with a little bit of a unique low blow at the end there as well to make sure he got the victory there? Because it seemed like...
Oh, my apologies. I missed it up. Andrade defeated last week. Claudio defeated Andrade this week because they both are trying to cheat each other, but the refs went down.
it was a thing of cheating. So, like, this week we saw Claudio hit, like, a unique low blow from, like, an atomic drop, front-facing atomic drop, and got the victory that way. But, you know, I found it very fascinating, the fact that, you know, Blackpool Combat Club is all about, you know, pure wrestling and doing things the right way and the old school wrestling style. And you got these guys, you know, trying to up Andrade at his own game and being like, oh, I can get one over on you as well. I like how they're toying with each other at the beginning a little bit. They're trying to, you know, there was a lot of there was a lot of competition between the two, but it was a good match. I enjoyed it.
I laughed when at the end, because I think about Andrade cheating, but I'm also thinking about Moxley cheating. And I think the hater of the year, Nigel McGuinness, brought this up, that Blackpool Combat Club for the past couple of matches, they've been cheating. So I'm not mad at Andrade for cheating, you know, last week, because y'all are going to do the same thing. I also would be remiss if we don't talk about the superplex off the top rope that was reversed into the two amigos that was reversed again. This match was so good.
It was. It was a great opening match. It really set the tone for the rest of the night.
Yeah, like we said, Andrade got beat up because he got hit to the yambags and got an inverted Gotch style pile driver, and Claudio Castagnoli with the Formuoli wins. It was a good match. Watch it. If you didn't watch Collision tonight, watch it. They have a Gold League recap after that. And then we have Abaddon versus Jasmine Allure, who was already in the ring. The only note I have for this is...
Does that bother you when they don't get an entrance?
It does, because it's okay. On the one hand, I understand local talent.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, damn, give me the illusion. let me at least think that they're gonna win or something. The note I wrote was, you've met with a terrible fate, haven't you? Abaddon worked that poor girl. Abaddon gave that girl the right, the left. Oof. That match was over before you could say Hachu.
No, 100%. It was done. And I didn't expect anything less, but I was expecting what was coming next. Because we saw what happened last week, and I was looking forward to see the follow-up on that.
Yeah, so afterwards, we get a post-match blackout. Julia Hart comes out. Now, me and Iridian have been fantasy booking that instead of Julia Hart versus Abaddon, create House of Hart. Abaddon is like your Brody King to your Malachi Black. Like, that's a big person. That's a big person. That's a solid piece. You could totally have Abaddon do that. But instead, Sky Blue comes out, the same Sky Blue that got her face spit on, to go and help jump Abaddon. I cannot believe that they would jump them like that. Why would you do that? I could not believe it.
Like I've been waiting for it, and they were playing us like it wasn't going to happen. They had the two face each other in a triple threat. It's like, maybe Sky's going to move away. Mm-hmm. We saw Willow move away from the mist that she got. So you're like, oh, so there is a chance that you can fight against it and you can fight away from it. But we saw Sky continue to get darker. We saw Sky stomp on her hat at the last pay-per-view. So I was waiting for it. I didn't think it was going to happen tonight. I thought, like many people maybe thought, this was going to lead to, you know, just Julia versus Abaddon. And maybe it'll be like a short rivalry that will go for a couple of weeks. But now you introduce that Sky Blue's finally aligning herself with Julia. And I do like the idea that you guys have with Abaddon being with them, even still. Like, that could still happen, and it could be the three of them, and that could still be really cool. I could see that. But I'll let you elaborate about what else happened, because it got even escalated more.
So now we've got Julia Hart and Sky Blue jumping poor Abaddon. And Thunder Rosa says, I've had it. She runs off of commentary into the ring to jump to Abaddon's rescue. I am so excited. I love Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb are two women I have been come back. And then to have Abaddon in that mix, I love this. I love this. I love that we're getting to see more of Abaddon. Happy, more than happy to see Thunder Rosa every day, 7 days a week, 8 days a Sunday, you know, see her wrestling and coming off the commentary. I loved this segment. I wish that the match got more time, but the match was just a prelude to what it needed to be. What were your thoughts on Thunder Rosa?
No, 100%. And I agree exactly with what you said. I think the match was just a vehicle to get to this segment and to let us sink our teeth into what was about to happen. I did not expect Thunder Rosa to run in there. I knew when they showed her on commentary the match earlier, I'm like, oh, cool, they're showing that Thunder Rosa is involved with Collision. She's doing commentary. I'm like, it's a little weird. We did see her like on the first episode of Collision back then, kind of like knock on Tony's door, and we thought she was going to be a big part of Collision, but we haven't seen much of her on it. When she ran out there, I was like, once again, like, as much as I didn't actually see the Sky Blue thing happening tonight, I didn't see the Thunder Rosa thing happening tonight. And when I don't see things coming, I just enjoy it so much more. And yes. It's going to be an interesting situation to see, like you said, because now you got in my head. Like your whole idea of Abaddon being with Julia and Sky is in my brain now. So I'm like, well, okay, that's cool that Thunder came to the aid of Abaddon, but can Thunder really trust Abaddon? Because she's also got that spooky thing going on. She fits with the other two. They like, you know, they got more in common with Abaddon than Thunder might have in common with Abaddon. So I saw Abaddon and Thunder next to each other. I'm like, these two things are not the same. How will they coexist?
But we've seen odd couples in many other promotions. And even in this one, make it really work. MJF, Adam Cole comes to my mind, first of all, because who's going to shoot on who? And no one shot each other. Spy versus spy. We do have a Humper Chat from Bizarro Big L. Always supporting the channel. Thank you so much, Bizarro. Bizarro says, sup, y'all. We eating good this week. It's either the itis or the gout from all this meat. Rosa comes back with the ladies division, kicks off a bloody Latina Pulp Fiction street fight. Yes. Keith Lee looking scary. Yes. Nigel and Reg are always my favorite haters. All right. Not too much on Reg. Not too much on righteous Reg, bro. He's not a hater without reason. Nigel McGuinness, no matter who was on screen, found a way to hate on Bryan Danielson tonight.
It's happening. I think it's happening in Wembley, all in. It's Nigel versus Bryan, and wrestling fans are going to rejoice everywhere, especially if you're an old school Ring of Honor fan, an old school independent fan from the early 2000s. You're going to love it. And I'm hoping that's what it's all leading to. It's a little nuggets that they're giving. It's like, you know, it's happened in the past, right? Like where people drop nuggets and, you know, like, oh, maybe it's going to happen. When they create that anticipation, the payoff's just going to be extra sweet.
That's how I felt, as controversial as we were upset. A lot of people were upset when Ric Flair was signed. But Ric Flair in the same promotion as Jay Lethal again? Are you kidding me? And Nigel McGuinness is there?
Yeah.
That's free real estate. Lives rent-free in my mind. After that, we do have a backstage segment with the Acclaimed and Renee. And honestly, Daddy Ass was fired up. I don't know why he was fired up. He's like, you guys attacked us. You guys are clowns in the clown mask. So we're going to get you, MJF. But Max Caster's line when he said, MJF, we got beat up and you didn't even care. I don't even mess with you no more, man. I was like, you broke Max Caster's heart. And I normally do not like the Acclaimed. And I know everybody loves the Acclaimed, but But also the promo from Anthony Bowen said, we're on a search and destroy looking for the Scooby-Doo villains. I cried.
Yeah, that was great. The Scooby-Doo villains was great. But I don't know who do you think the devil is?
I think it's Jungle Boy, if I'm being honest with you. At one time, I had my tinfoil hat on, and I said, oh, it's CM Punk, because everything's coming up Millhouse, because I like to troll, and I like violence. And then CM Punk went to go work for the Fed, and I'm like, darn.
And that would have been epic if that was the case, if he had like some secret injury, why he took the time off and then came back. Like that would, because till this day, and I've said this on Twitter, I said it on Instagram, I said it everywhere, I still, like, there'll always be a part of me, maybe we'll get it one day somewhere, whether it's a Fed or here, I want MJF Punk 3. Like, I need that.
I agree with that,
you know. So I don't know when or where, but that has to happen before you know MJF has a long career ahead of him. We don't know how much, like maybe another 5, 6, maybe 10 years of Punk. We don't know, but it needs to happen. The Max Caster line where he said, you know, you're still my friend, but you didn't even care that when we got attacked. Like the thing about, and when you think about it, when he said that, you really think about it, you're like, wait, MJF really brought it up again. There's never really been any segments of MJF checking up on the Acclaimed, like, sorry, that happened. So there is truth to that. So it's like, there is still validity to the fact that it could just be.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
MJF.
MJF has always said the greatest trick the devil has ever pulled was making you think he doesn't exist.
And he literally has all of us wrestling fans in the palm of his hands right now as a baby face.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And you know what else is a fact? Crystal World Order. No rules when Crystal's hosting. There's no law when you're on the claw. And I don't know what the claw is.
No, this is great. The energy is great. I'm digging it.
Listen, wrestling is supposed to be fun. It and is. I know some people come on here and be like, and then today we saw a dude you could tell me. That's not this show. This show is watching wrestling with your cousins and we're laughing. We're having a great. Good old time.
It's a good Saturday night. I'm glad I stayed up.
Yeah. Okay. Also in that segment, Top Flight comes out with Action Andretti and says, you guys are looking for a fight. We're going to, all right. You get the point. I will say that it's nice to see Top Flight together because these two are amazing, but these two sometimes are never together in the same room at the same time. And it hurts my feelings and my heart. And I'm glad that they're healthy enough and they're all wrestling. And Action Andretti is a perfect third for that group. They're so good. So good. Let me turn the page like a grandma because I write it. Next, we have Orange Cassidy versus the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith. I had never seen this man wrestle before tonight.
Okay.
And I'm so glad that I got to see him wrestle. First of all, why is his pants up so high? I live.
How cool is it? Like, I didn't realize it because I've seen him wrestle, but I guess I didn't pay much attention to his entrance before. Uh-huh. And I watched Ring of Honor last night, and he was on the show. I don't know if it was a kick. It was the kickoff. He was on the pre-show, and the 0 hour, if I may. and he comes out to Still Tipping. And I'm like, I had no idea that as a theme song would slap so hard in professional wrestling, and it does. Because that came out like when I was in high school. Like, so it was cool to see that. It was a solid match. I enjoyed the match.
It was a really good match. I am going to say that my first note is, bro, Danielson not even in this match, Nigel. That is literally my first though. Like, yo, he's not even in his match, bro.
I need to start paying attention to that a little bit more because I picked it up in the first match. I did not pick it up in this match.
Whole show. Nigel McGuinness was just calling him a clam digger. Said, "Well, you better watch out for that later." Like, this was a women's match. Yo, why do you hate him so much?
Yeah, I don't know, it's good TV. That's great. It's a heel Nigel on Brian that has to lead to something. If it doesn't, I'm going to be so disappointed.
I'm going to be mad too. I'm going to write a very penned, angry pointed letter. Dear Anthony Khan, why?
Because I love it. Just in wrestling, generally, I love nothing more than a good heel commentator. Like, I grew up with solid, great heel commentators. Mm. But there's usually always a payoff at some point. Whether it's like you know, that commentator bumps for the wrestler once or twice and after a match or something. But there has to be some payoff. Like, it has to be.
Yeah. I mean, in this match, to get back to this match, sorry, it's an awful segue, but that's what I had. There was a bunch of big chest chops on Orange Cassidy. Sorry. Orange Cassidy got worked this match. Brian Keith slaps hard. That leaping headbutt. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Who does that? Who thinks that's some? I feel like he wrestled Hangman at some point, and if he hasn't, I need that because that's some real cowboy shit.
You want the you want an old western? You want a cowboy?
I want the
cowboy.
Old western.
You want Ryan a whole showdown? Hits a
big six shooter, and it doesn't take down Orange Cassidy, who always hangs on by this much, and then Orange Cassidy gets the most devastating move in the game, the surprise roll up with the 3-4s, and gets the win over Brian Keith. What did you think about the match before we get into the post-match?
I think the match was great. I think the match was it's what we've expected in these Orange Cassidy matches where whoever he's facing gets a lot of great offense to the point where we think, oh, man, they might actually take this one from Orange Cassidy. But then he always comes in at the end and he gets the victory. Personally, this is the only probably negative thing I'll say this entire show. I'm getting over the Orange Cassidy, is it the All-Atlantic Championship now, title defenses. We did it. He lost to the Moxley. He got it back, and we're doing it again. Mm-hmm. And it might as well just be Orange Cassidy's title at this point because it doesn't seem like anyone else can either win it or like hold it for a long period of time. Is it still good? Are the matches still entertaining? Yes, but I need something to sink my teeth into when it comes to Orange Cassidy in this championship, like another feud. And I know we just had a Moxley, but I wonder who that next big contender is going to be because I can't think of anyone because most people we have the one-off match with and then move on. But we'll see.
That's not a bad shot. I can see another complaint being that, like, much like with Eddie Kingston, it's always you kind of get beat up until you win.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would want Orange Cassidy to be a little bit more dominant. And he looked fantastic. He put over Brian Keith fantastically this whole match. And I cannot stress enough that this match was good. For someone who's never seen Brian Keith before, I want to see him again.
And because we're having so many great, solid, different, like mostly technical or hard-hitting matches in the Continental Classic, Orange Cassidy's still having this style of match on this show. I saw someone tweet on Twitter after being like, how many points did Orange Cassidy just get? Because it feels the same thing. And the one thing I think is great about AEW is they're really good at giving you different things on one show, which we'll talk about when we get to the street fight. Like those different things on these shows that separates it from that Continental Classic tournament. This didn't feel much different from that tournament. It felt kind of like the same thing. And then it becomes a lot of the same.
Are you saying that this is a safe bet?
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag, that's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag, only bet what you can and please bet responsibly.
Bet responsibly, ladies and gentlemen. Segway queen.
That was great. But it is a safe bet. It's a safe bet. It's a safe bet.
It's a safe bet.
It's a safe bet that Orange Cassidy would have got 3 points if this was a Continental.
that is a safe bet.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead. That's it.
After the match, we do get Brian Keith tipping his hat. And Orange Cassidy tipping the glasses. So,
I did like that. That was
a sign of respect. Cool, yeah. That was
when he slapped his hand away. I was like, oh no, we're in Texas. Are we to get like a new bad guy on the AEW squad here? But then he tipped his hat, and I was like, oh, that's cool. That's a cool thing.
Sometimes you have to find love on a hopeless hat. After this, we get a mirror promo where he. Did he cut a promo on his wife? Because that's what I got from this. That he's like, listen, maybe it's not me. Maybe it's you making it me. And I'm tired of being a nice guy. I don't want to not attack Andrade because he's your client. I want to attack Andrade because he's an asshole.
You know,
hate that guy.
cheap plug, but like I write articles for a website, and you guys can find all that in my link in my
Please
bio.
Please promote yourself.
Yeah, it's on 1:37 p.m. You guys, I write articles, wrestling articles, and I write a lot of lists. But like, if I ever had to write an article about like most toxic relationships in professional wrestling, Miro and CJ Perry is gonna be way up there. Because literally, Miro's only issue in this company right now is my wife is here, and everything she does annoys me.
But and, I mean, to be
and
fair,
CJ's whole thing is like, I'm here, and if you don't want to manage you, I'm gonna do everything I can to annoy you. Like,
I don't even think that she's annoying him, because she said I would have stayed at home. Because like last week, she was like, you denounced me in front of all these people and said, psh, I don't even want my hot and flexible wife. So what am I supposed to do? Stay at home and play pool by myself? So I went out and got a job. It just so happens to be at the place that you work.
And the way he's trying to deflect from it, like, oh, it's not even that Andrade's manager is my wife. It's just because Andrade's an asshole. Like, we don't believe you. Like,
yeah, you're jealous.
You don't want to admit that you're jealous and that your wife's managing this person, but she can't manage you because you're on your own path, but she's also not allowed to manage anybody else. And it doesn't bother me, but anybody she manages, I'm going to beat up.
Cut the cat.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And he says it in like the most crazy, like good backstage production promo where you're like, this is a serious promo. But realistically, you strip everything away. This is just an insecure man about his wife being around in the locker room.
I mean, all she wanted to do was help, and you told her to stay home. And then you pretty much said, F my wife on national television.
Yeah. And now that she decided to stay, you're like, it's crazy because, like, you know, there's so many things he could be doing. He could have been a part of this Continental Classic. He could try to go on after MJF, or he could probably dethrone Orange Cassidy. But instead, my wife is here.
My wife. Don't even let my wife. Don't there's look at my bit, wife.
Those Indians that say, like, you know, happy life, happy wife, whatever. Like, Miro needs a little help in that split a second.
Not happy Miro. He is not a hero. That was terrible. Yeah. I forced that.
I'm not happy Miro. He's not a hero.
Bring that right. Go ahead.
And then you got Andrade, who like probably doesn't even care. He's just like, Andrade is like a troll. He's just a human troll. Like, oh, this guy's wife wants to. Okay, sure. Okay, you're gonna help me travel and book all my stuff. Okay, and. There's Miro fuming, like you see the smoke coming out of his ears, like standing in the background. I can like see the comic right now.
Like, the menacing signs over his head, like, yeah. JoJo's. He's so mad. Yeah. We do have a bumper chat for Bizarro Big L saying, again, Bizarro, we appreciate you. Say, tonight was an intense show. They're building off of Dynamite and Final Battle really well. Brian Keith hit so hard. I agree. And the Von Erichs showed out. Somebody is going to snatch them up real quick. Give us cowboy group we want. The Posse. I thought it said Posse, but that's an exclamation point. The Posse, Hangman and Brian Keith. I would not hate that. And that could be like some like real hot girl shit, real cowboy shit.
You have Hangman, you have Brian Keith, you have the Von Erichs that come out on horses.
I don't know anything about the Four Horsemen.
What about the Four Horsemen?
Well, like that's a different promo.
Well, the Four Horse exactly Riders or something. I don't know. Yeah.
It would literally have to be them and what's his name? Jay Lethal would have to come out and cut a promo on them. That's the only way.
With the Ric Flair with the Ric Flair accent.
That's the only way. That was fantastic. They said a quick happy birthday, Brody Lee, by the way, between Orange Cassidy and the Miro promo. I will say this. I think they should have did a video package. That's just me.
You know, I'm not going to lie. When happy heavenly birthday to Brody Lee first and sending love out to his family and stuff. It's been 3 years, but when they said it, I thought it was going into a video promo.
Same.
And then when it didn't, I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, it's not. It's just my mind thought it was. Whether it was good or bad or they should have or shouldn't, I don't know, but mentally, my brain, I think maybe it's like maybe it's the Fed's fault that we like envision these things happening.
Yeah.
But like nothing happened. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. Like, I agree with that. We're just trading from the Fed. Like, okay, you guys see that in passing. There's a video package coming to the stage.
Yeah, you know, it's that old, I forgot that theory. You do with the person, once they hear a bell so many times, once you hear a bell, you get a candy. Eventually, you hear a bell, you expect a candy. Like, that's what I was expecting. Once I heard the commentators comment on it, I was expecting the video package. So it was just like, it comes hand in hand.
True. After that, we have a backstage promo with Lexi Nair and Commander. Lexi, I don't even know what Lexi Nair began to ask Commander, because here comes Roderick Strong. Commander! Mad loud. And it's like, I don't even know what Lexi Nair asked this poor man, because no one asked Roderick Strong anything. And he's like, I'm a winner. I've got winning ways, and I've got to get back to it. I'll see you next week. I don't know why I'm giving him the Joey Wheeler voice. I don't know what I'm with that.
It wasn't really like, I'm all for like building matches this way and whatnot, but it just also seemed like random. I was very, because Roderick's been so involved with the MJF stuff and what's going on over there. Commando was just in that TV title match for the vacant TV title for Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. That's what he was asked about. You were like so close to winning, and then Kyle won, and then it just seems really random. Like, it's gonna be a good match, and I'm the number one complainer of like, if you're gonna put a match on TV, give me a reason why it's happening. But I guess this is their way of giving me a reason. I just thought it was really random. And I also think it's so weird now. Like, it's funny that Roderick yells out the names, but then before he walked away, he just yelled his name again and pointed at him. What was the point of that?
Because Roderick Strong, much like Tony Storm, is living the gimmick.
Yeah. Oh, you have to yell his name again. You're standing right in front of him. You're still yelling his name. Like,
but, like, have you heard him when he yells out people with two names? He's like, Renee! Okay.
No, I haven't. That's actually so, I need to pay attention. That's actually so funny.
I think he did. He's like, Samoa Joe. He's so annoying. He is so annoying. Roderick Strong, I said this before and I'll say it again. He has a very punchable face, and he's knowing how to work the crowd, and he's working us, brother, with the next Strong. Go in there, put on an amazing match as soon as the match is over. He's the worst.
I feel like, and honestly, I feel like I've probably been watching Roderick at this point for like 15 years almost, and I've seen him in the independents, I've seen him in Ring of Honor, I've seen him in NXT, I've seen him everywhere else, and this is the most personality I've ever seen him have. I think he's a tremendous wrestler. He's always been a tremendous wrestler, but personality wise this is the most I've seen Roderick like put out.
I agree with that. Roderick Strong is annoying in the best way.
Yeah.
And I will say, neck health is very important. But you know what else is important?
AthleticGreens.com/Fightful. Man, this is my go-to supplement, my go-to multivitamin, but it's so much more than a multivitamin. By the way, you want to be drinking your multivitamin. It absorbs a lot better. I take one scoop of AG1 from AthleticGreens.com/Fightful, put it in my 8 ounces of water, drink it down, and I'm good to go. I got a multivitamin that covers so much. Minerals, probiotics, that's why you never see me getting sick. You got your adaptogens, antioxidants, you've got a digestive enzyme. They all work together for a stronger foundation for your health. A free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2, plus 5 free travel packs when you use athleticgreens.com/Fightful. By the way, it also helps recovery. So if you've had a tough workout, this athleticgreens.com/Fightful AG1 product is really going to help you out. They've got doctors, they've got endurance athletes, people with PhDs, the professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School, David Sinclair, putting this thing over. AthleticGreens.com/Fightful. That immunity support, that digestive support, that multivitamin, all at AthleticGreens.com/Fightful.
You're all welcome for that. You know who else could have used some Athletic Greens? FTR, because holy hell, Dax looked like he got put through the wood chipper. Oh, I forgot that there was a Ring of Honor match last night, and when Dax came out there, hoof, 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 hoof.
That match was insane last night. I watched it. It went from a regular match to a double countout to becoming an anything goes match, and they just went nuts. To be fair, though, Cash didn't look as bad as Dax, so I don't know what
happened. I'm like, Cash, what are you doing? Why are your friends looking like that?
Cash actually, you know, Cash was like flexing in the promo and they're talking about bodies. I'm like, Cash looks all right, but Dax looks like he's been through the wood chipper for sure. Like, he's been going through it. Like,
he was in the gulag. What are you
which
doing?
Which kind of added to the promo that, you know.
It did. So let me run down this promo right quick. FTR, like we said, they come out, they look like Dax, more importantly, looks like he's been through the wood chipper. It starts off with Cash Wheeler, which is something that's very rare. And Cash Wheeler says, House of Black, no more spooky shit. I've had it. Come to the ring, talk to us like men, because you guys keep doing this. And what's really good is that your unrealized potential. And that's why you're mad. You're mad Brody's doing good. You're mad Julia's more over than you. And you're more pent up at everybody, so you can't take it out on them. So you taking it out on us. The best career that we've had has been here in AEW. Two-time tag team champions. Ring of Honor tag team champion. New Japan listed off all of their stuff. They say, you just jealous. You are jealous. So right when Dax starts to go and say something and say, you guys... they cut his mic. I was like, oh, you know he's about to shoot. He's about to give him that thing. So they cut his mic. I'm like, ain't nobody cutting the mic. Then they cut the lights. Now, one thing, I am a Zelina Vega stan, and by proxy, I'm a Malakai Black stan. So let's just establish that right there. I laughed when Buddy Matthews said, nobody likes y'all. You can be mad, but nobody likes y'all. We beat you up last week. Who came out? Nobody. So, to quote Jasmine Masters from Drag Race, you may not have liked what I said, but you cannot say I wasn't funny.
Yes.
You can't say I wasn't. You may be mad, but we're one in the same. We're one in the same. And then Malakai comes up and ethers this man and says, yo, you may not like our methods, but we're family. Violence brings us together. It's not personal. It's just wrestling. If I wanted to make this personal, take a picture of your family, much like this photo here, and I would burn it. And that would be crazy if I did that. I'm like, yo!
Yes! And then they burned it.
And then he burned it. And then, yo, yo, yo.
You know. You know, one of Dax's biggest triggers is bringing up his wife and his kid, and everybody does it, but that's like one of his biggest things. I'm also a big fan of Malakai and Buddy. I'm a big fan of FTR. I'm cool with three out of four of those people. The way they even tried to like drive a wedge between FTR being like, well, you know, Dax, you have a wife and a kid and you have all this, but Cash, what do you have? Like, who do you have? Like,
who are you?
And then it was kind of like they're trying to be like, Cash, like, we're your family. Like, Dax might have his family. We can be your family. So basically what's going on here is you're seeing House of Black trying to recruit FTR to kind of, like, join House of Black, which is, like, weird because, you know, FTR wants to fight them because they love to fight. They love to wrestle. And you know that Dax is probably going to get into his inner Arn Anderson and talk about how he's going to take them to the morgue. But instead, his mic got cut and you had the House of Black there and... The irony and the obvious irony of, I don't want to make this personal, but if I lit this picture of your family on fire, who would you have left? Like, that is a threat. Like, now it's one thing talking about Dax's wife and daughter, like everybody, Max does, everybody that feuds and talks about them. It's another to give a visual of like, family fire. Like, what?
That is Nigel McGuinness levels of hate. That was such a good... That's like saying, I wouldn't ever talk about your mother and then proceeds to talk about your mother for the next 10 minutes. Like,
the next step, that would be crazy. Like, I would never talk about your family. And then, you know, goes into a widescreen and you're sitting at the table with the wife and the daughter.
Like when Swerve broke into Hangman's house and cut a pro on a baby. Yeah, on a baby?
On a baby that was somehow home alone. We don't know why.
Because the nanny must have
fallen asleep on the couch.
The baby had a six shooter under the...
Yeah, that's a real cowboy shit. That baby take care. That baby take care of himself. Don't worry.
I mean, all Swerve did was cut a promo. He ain't touched that baby. I tell you what.
It left him with the merch. You know, that's a good $30 shirt right there. Merch.
So who really coming?
if we're gonna get wild, if the Continental Classic is like the real part of AEW and like bringing the realism back, let's get wild with this other stuff. Because
Continental Classic is great wrestling, yeah, but all the extra storylines like House of Black, Swerve, I'll even say the advent of BCC cheating is kind of like, all right, I like where this is going. I think this is great.
I don't remember though. Was the BCC, were they, before this tournament started, were they the bad guys again or were they good guys again?
BCC just beat up people. That's what they do. They just fight. They just beat up people. Like they're an anti-hero at best.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, that's what I would say. They're anti-hero at best because I'm not helping. Yeah. But also, if someone's eviler than us, I cannot have that stand.
Like, does that mean there's gonna be a such like they're under the same umbrella, but there's gonna be a little bit of a segregation between Julia's new family in the House of Black, or are we one day going to see all of them together?
So that's something that me and Iridian and even Rick have talked about, where you would have the House of Black, which I guess would be the men's side of it, and then the House of Heart, which would be the women's side of it, that's providing we get women's tag teams or women's trios or something like that, where you already have a natural bond brood, whatever that'll turn into, between Sky Blue and Julia Hart. And to me, Abaddon, they are a perfect fit for that spooky LaDuca combo. You could have done Anna Jay, but as providing if Anna Jay wants to go back to the spooky stuff, she's already done that with Dark Order. So maybe he'd get a surprise entrant. Maybe Thunder Rosa go spooky. You know, maybe Serena Deeb come back and go spooky. Maybe we get someone that we're not expecting. Riho goes off the deep end, and now she's spooky Riho, and you already can't tap her out. Yeah. But spooky Riho, Nah.
No, I'm intrigued because this is, and to your point, that's another person. Actually, Anna Jay is another person that got misted. We saw her change a bit and then fought it off. But also, I think we've seen enough of Anna Jay in factions to see what she can do by herself for a minute, and we'll get her back in a faction. But I'm curious because I thought Julia did really bring a whole different element to the House of Black, and I liked her with them. I think Brody was coming out with her, she was coming out with Brody, it added something. So I'm just curious to see if are we eventually one day gonna see a giant cauldron or something, and all five of them standing there. I'm intrigued.
I will also say this to give credence to what FTR was saying in the promo. Look at how you and I are just discussing Brody King and Julia Hart, though.
Because it's true. They have Brody's killing it in this content tournament. We'll talk about the main event when we get there, but it killed it. And the rise of Julia has just been undeniable. And it says something about having such a great character in that presentation and how she's been carrying herself. She's gotten better in the ring as times progress and she was that cheerleader, 110%. But because she's been who she's been with this character, people got more invested in her. Though even if she hasn't gotten that much better in the ring, no one's going to say anything because they're so invested in the character and seeing where it goes. So, I don't know. Maybe this feud with FTR is what's supposed to elevate Malakai and Buddy.
Yeah, because I think they're world-class, top-notch wrestlers. They just have to be in a situation to be shown that way, because I know AEW is good for presenting wrestlers in a good light for the most part.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be negative Nancy and tell y'all my 1 or 2%, so we're gonna move on to the next match. With next match, we got two women's matches. Now y'all know it wasn't even 9:20, it was before that. I was so hyped. But I was not hyped
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I heard it was a Texas street match, because y'all know I cannot handle blood. I am S-A-W-F-T, soft. When Willow took the bottle to the head when the match first started and went under the ring, I was like, oh, she about to come out, busted open hallway, ain't she? And sure as shit. Ah, disgusting. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Like I said, first of all, let's give a shout out to Willow and Chris Stadlander. We were discussing whether it was Pulp Fiction or Kill Bill, and we've decided that it was both.
Yeah.
I think it was
Pulp Fiction with the suitcase part in the entrance.
The chain thing is what threw me. That's what I thought it was, Kill Bill, because I know there was a girl who had a chain and a ball and chain. They were both directed by Tarantino, so it doesn't
matter. Maybe it was both. Maybe it was just a tribute to Tarantino. Yeah.
Like I said, the glass bottle over Willow's head to start off the match. And then immediately after that, Diamante took a nasty bump to the head from a barbed wire. Violence. This is where I kind of stopped writing, because now I'm remembering and I don't like it. Willow took a bomb onto chairs. I said, why is Moxie not on commentary after this match? It's only been 5 minutes. Jesus Christ. Willow Nightingale tried to put Diamante through this board twice, and this board said, I'm New Japan, baby. I'm not selling. I don't care. Willow literally tried to take the board and break it over this poor girl's back. So that was the star of the match for me. Thumbtacks and glass came out of the briefcase. Disgusting.
Was it thumbtacks or was it glass shards? Because the commentators were saying both. Okay, was it both? Okay, they were saying both, and I'm like, it's one or the other. I was so confused, but.
Ugh, listen.
Either, none of them feel good, so.
I don't care how gimmicked or whatever it is, disgusting. It happened in one of his. So Willow takes a nasty powerbomb, an assisted powerbomb from Diamante, getting the missile dropkick onto some tables on the outside from Mercedes Martinez. I don't even know if I said that it was Mercedes Martinez versus Diamante versus Willow Nightingale, because that's how much trauma this match inflicted on me. And then after that, Chris Statlander hits Diamante with this discus lariat with the chain wrapped around her neck and pins this girl with her neck and her back on the thumbtacks and glass. I'm glad there's two women's matches, but I'm glad that's over. Jesus Christ, beans and rice. What are your thoughts on this?
When I saw it was announced, and I only saw that this match was announced today, like earlier today, and I was like, oh, okay, another women's match. Like, that's cool, because I already had the perception that the Abaddon match that was announced was going to be kind of a squash into a segment. So I was like, oh, we're going to have another active women's match. I don't really have much of an opinion on the feud, because I feel like I've missed parts of it. I didn't realize it was as heated as it was. But I guess these girls have been beefing pretty bad, because they really went at each other in this match. I went into this with lower expectations, and I don't know why. And I forget that anytime that AEW's promoted a street fight with the women, they always go above and beyond. Even like, I remember the one with Anna Jay and Tay Conti against
Penelope and Allie. That was a mess.
There was a one with Anna and Willow against Tay against Willow and someone. Like, every time they do a street fight with the women, they go above and beyond. And I forgot that. Like, something in my brain, maybe because I'm a little under the weather, made me just like foggy and be like, oh, it's a street fight. There'll be some chairs, some candlesticks, maybe some tables. I didn't realize we're going to have people getting bottled and glass shards and a board that wouldn't break and barbed wire and chains. I was like, oh, this is AEW. I forgot for a minute. I should have known. I just watched Ring of Honor yesterday. But it just, when I see the women go, like, this is the only company you're going to, like, the only company that's on national television, and that is as popular as it is, that you're going to see this happening, because it's a lot and it's dangerous. Yeah. And it's, they say Saturday's a good night for a fight. These women came to fight, so.
Yeah, I'm glad that you corrected yourself when you said national television. I was like, hey, we're going to talk about Impact, because I love me some Impact, okay?
Yeah, but they were national television too, and they do some good, they do some crazy stuff down there. And Impact's women's division, right? I think those, and this is a side note, I think the women's revolution started in Impact way before it ever started in any other wrestling company, national or not. And
I'm seeing that now covering Impact. The Impact Women's Division, this is not an Impact show, but I will shill Impact every time. As the kids say, I will glaze for Impact. Like, hey, yo.
No, I've been hearing that a lot in the last week. I don't know if I'm getting old. I'm like, why does I have one friend that keeps sending me things like glazing? I'm like, Can you like elaborate? What does that mean?
That means like you jocking the rock.
Okay.
Like you D-riding. D-riding without a license.
I think lazing sounds better than D-riding. So.
But like that, like the full term is glizzy glazing. The more you learn, okay. So
no, that's good, but, man.
I mean, but it's true. Like the women in Impact cut it up, and I feel like the women in AEW cut it up as well. It's just that we don't see them a lot, and it's a little frustrating because I know how you can. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want to throw something at you though, really quickly before we move.
Okay.
Because there was a sign in the crowd a couple of shows ago. We're seeing tandems come together again with like Julia and Sky, and Willow and Chris, and you got Diamante and Mercedes, et cetera, et cetera. I think there already is way too many titles in this company, personally. That's another thing I'll always stand by, also considering Ring of Honor. But do you think the women's need, like, a tag titles?
Like, you got to put more women on or the TV.
Trios?
You got to put
That's
more
true.
Women on
That's
TV.
True.
Like, there was,
That's true.
I don't know if you remember this, but there was a whole women's tag team tournament where they got
on YouTube.
Diamante totally won with
Ivelisse,
thank you.
Yeah.
And what happened? What happened with that?
Nothing. They never did it again.
Willow Nightingale won the Owen Hart Tournament Cup. And what happened with that? Ricky Starks is tag team champion. What's happening? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It goes to the book. That's what I'm concerned that it wouldn't work because of the way that things are booked in this company sometimes. But it's also, isn't an opportunity to put more women on? I don't know.
I see.
They have a lot of shows.
I agree with this. You do. You have a lot of space, a lot of opportunity. Wouldn't it be crazy? Wouldn't it be mad if you just put on one men's match at 9:20? Wouldn't that be crazy? Wouldn't that be?
Yeah.
And you've got the talent to do it. Listen, I get it. And some people will say that women's wrestling isn't a draw. And I say you are a liar.
I mean, you could even just dedicate. You could dedicate, like, I don't know. Rampage to women's wrestling or something. I don't know. It was.
I would have personally liked this street fight to have been the main event. This could have been off the end. It was a good match. It was a great match, in fact. And I don't like blood. I'm soft again.
Yeah.
After this, we get a backstage with Toni Storm and Lexi Nair. I love how delusional Toni Storm is. I aspire to be that delusional. Lexi Nair had asked Toni Storm, you've got this tournament coming up with these girls. Which opponent do you prefer? And she's like, I don't care. I'm so tired. I hate this. So she starts asking Mariah May. She's like, well, when are you having your first match? She's like, well, I spoke to Tony Khan, and Tony Khan said it's coming up real soon. And, Toni Storm, if you could commentate my match. She's like, she almost practically hit her with the, who are you? No, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. But once you saw that more of the attention was being put on Mariah May, that's when Toni Storm was like, I care now, okay? I don't care who wins. I want them to slap each other's tits off, beat each other up so I can fight. And I quote, titless, blind, baldies.
I love Toni. I love this entire angle. I think this entire angle's been amazing. I don't mean to correct you. I'm not trying to be that person, but it was Renee.
No, all good. Correct. I'm wrong all the time, baby.
Renee dodged the, tits up, chin up, watch out for the shoe. She's like,
That's right.
And it's the facial expressions. I keep telling people this on my page. I'm like, if you're watching these segments, watch the facial expressions, right?
Yes.
Because that's what's telling the story here, right? Mariah's great with facial expressions. That's my girl. I've known her for years. We go way back. I've known her since before she started wrestling. She did some acting and stuff, so she has it in her. Exactly to your point, when Renee put it onto Mariah, that's when you saw that Toni was kind of like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be about me. Like, why are you talking
my
to this?
Time.
Why are you talking to this girl holding my belt, and the way Mariah was like, hey, like, do you mind, like, you did really good on commentary a couple of weeks ago. I'd love for you to be on commentary for my first match. And like, if not then, like, will you at least watch? And she's like, oh, I don't even have time to watch it. But if I ever do a seminar, like, I'll let you know. And it's like, the condescendingness towards Mariah from Tony. Like, they're already building on something that everyone knows they're building on something there. I feel like they, personally, I don't, like, it could happen at Revolution. It could happen at Dublin or nothing. I say they're taking all the way to Wembley because they're both in the UK. It could be a big moment. You know, they could still, like, have tension and then kind of break off and do their own thing. Mariah can have a little singles thing and Tony can do her thing, but they could still, like, be together, not together. Let me ask you this. Does it make a difference who wins between Soraya and Riho? Because I don't want Tony to drop the belt anytime soon.
Same. But I have a very soft spot in my heart for Soraya. I'm very happy she came back. Because when I started watching wrestling, Soraya wasn't wrestling at the time. Adam Copeland wasn't wrestling at the time. These people had, their necks had said, no, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm done. So to see her come back, it was nice to see her win at Wembley. I don't want Toni Storm to lose. Let me say that right now. However, I would like Soraya to win more. That being said, Riho is the Johnny Gargano of that women's division. You cannot knock her out. She is mad strong. She's a level 99 paladin. You cannot knock Riho out. So Soraya's losing that match. Like, I love Soraya. You my girl, but you're going to have to cheat Riho out her boots. And you can't do that because Ruby Soho in love. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, like, we really need something for Soraya, though. Because I also really do respect and I've been a fan of Soraya for years. And you know, she came to this company, the run's been solid. She won the belt in Wembley. That's super cool. And
yeah,
I'm okay with them not taking the belt off Tony for a minute now, because it did go like Tony to Soraya to Shida back to Tony. Like, we did hot potato the belt for a second there. Let's have Tony have a run with this character's over, right? But what do you do with Soraya then? Because I do also think Riho's the one that's gonna be the one to face Tony. Do we go back to the other angle and say, okay, maybe Abaddon does join Julia and Sky? Does Soraya start helping Thunder? Do they find an allegiance against these scary girls? Like, because I do think Soraya is too much of a prominent figure just to be like floating around.
I agree. I mean, the only other angle I could see them running is that, yes, say Soraya beats Riho, you try to do, like, because she yelled at Ruby Soho last week,
yeah,
that Tony left me, you're not going to leave me. So now this is, maybe could be a way to get retribution. It could go either way, but my money's on Riho again. Riho is level 99. You cannot knock her out. I've seen Riho do some impossible stuff. So my money's always going to be on Riho. I don't care.
And what happened? What happened to Tony's butler? What happened to Luther? He was there, and then he's just not there. I mean, it's just a minor detail. It's not the biggest thing in the world, but I was like, what happened to Luther?
I don't know what happened to Luther.
Did Mariah somehow become Luther, but also she's a wrestler? Like, I'm confused. Like,
I don't know. That's a good question. Whatever happened to Luther? After that, guys, we get an Adam Copeland versus Christian promo. And it was fine. Just Adam Copeland saying, hey, Christian, I'm going to beat this new jerk out of you. It's the turtleneck. Do you have any thoughts on it?
Okay, so at the end of the promo, Adam Copeland, got to get better at that. I haven't done my podcast this entire year. I took time off, and I've not had to, like, say his name a lot in AEW terms. But Adam Copeland challenged Christian Cage. He's still Christian Cage. To a match at World's End, but this time he wanted it to be no DQ because what happened at the end of the last match. My thoughts on it, I think it's going to happen. I just don't know if involving Nick Wayne's mom was, like, I never had the chance to speak with him. I don't know if that was the best decision. I feel like it took away so much from their personal rivalry between these two old friends, and now Nick Wayne's mom's in the middle of it.
I disagree, because I think, to me, Christian Cage got everyone in that Wayne family calling him daddy, and that's a menace. That he's a menace to society. He is a menace to society for that.
No, and I think it's great, but I just, like, if it's new, if it's no DQ, are we just going to get a whole bunch of shenanigans? Are we going to have Nick?
Oh, this is going to be a Jeff Jarrett match.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, is that what we're getting? Because I do think that Adam Copeland and Christian Cage have a really good time. Like, imagine we get Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, and I'm sure we'll probably get this down the line, in a ladder match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's something they're both really good at. They can tell a good story there, but I feel like it's just, we're going to have, I love the patriarchy, but I feel like we're just going to have a lot of shenanigans.
At this point, Yeah. I need to have Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys versus the Dudley Boys. One top for the one top. One top for the one top. I know AEW can make it happen. I need it. One top.
Oh,
one
Luther top. Has the case of gout. Sorry.
That's what I saw.
Get well soon, Luther. I did not know that.
Get well. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought he disappeared. I was like, did his white suit get stained or something? But
nah, he needs to go home and relax.
Yeah.
Our next match of the night, and ladies and gentlemen, make sure you're getting in your super chats and your humper chats. We are coming upon Zehom Stretch We. We got Brian Cage versus local talent. I didn't even hear this man's name. I wrote, he took a tumble. The crowd started chanting, let's go, jobber, let's go. Not nice, wait, Texas.
Did they actually chant jobber?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, Texas was not being nice. And then Brian Cage made it worse by curling a grown man like this. I'd be upset. The match is over. Any thoughts?
It was just, I looked away for a minute. I think I went to go do something. I sat back down and Brian Cage was on my TV. And I was like, this was not advertised, which for me, I'm okay with that, but with AEW, I'm so used to everything being like advertised before. Like, I know exactly what the card is going to be. So I was like, oh, cool. But then I saw it was an enhancement talent match. I heard the guy's name briefly when he tumbled because they said it, but I forget it now. It was good. It was good for what it was. It was good to put a spotlight on the Mogul Embassy. I think it was the promo after the match that really mattered. Mm-hmm.
So after the match, it cuts commercial. We come back from commercial. We're backstage with the Mogul Embassies, with the Mogul Embassy. And Prince Nana is a gem. Yeah. He's just, I forgot what the question even was, but he was like, we're winning. We're in the money. Hey, we're in the money. And I'm dying laughing because I'm like, yo, you're an idiot. So it looks like the conversation's over and they begin to walk off. And there comes who? Keith Lee. Keith Lee pulls up and it says, Keith Lee appears to tell him that his time is running out. And by him, we mean Swerve. And by Swerve, I mean it's about time we get this one-on-one, not no tag team. Not. It's about time, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. But also, Swerve Strickland going to teach you out your boots, so you better come with an army.
Has to happen at World's End. And it's perfect that this I feel like the name of this pay-per-view is gonna be so fitting after this pay-per-view happens because I feel like a lot of long-term stories and things are gonna come to an end. And the Swerve and Keith Lee thing needs to come to an end. Not that it's bad by any means, but they detracted from it way too many times. We've taken so many detours from it. We had Keith Lee go through a whole like transformation from it and come back like with different hair color and a cape, and then he came back. Like, so much has happened that it's like, okay, let's do this. Swerve Keith Lee. Swerve is on top of the world right now. He's killing it. He's one of the, like, you know, I think everybody looks at Swerve right now as his future AEW world champion. Mm-hmm. It's written all over.
Yep.
Keith Lee doesn't have that feeling right now. Keith Lee's been missing something. The match with Shane Taylor last night was tremendous, but you really got to be watching Ring of Honor and Rampage and Collision to really know what's happening with Keith Lee. And I think it's time for this to happen. And I think this is time maybe that Swerve, and I hate to say it this way, but I'm saying this in the most like respectful way possible. Swerve can help elevate Keith Lee's stock again in AEW with this feud. I think it's time.
I think where Swerve is now, if he took a loss to Keith Lee, I want to see Keith Lee versus Swerve 2. And Keith Lee's versus Swerve 3. Even if it's for nothing, this is something that people, the fans, have been wanted. They wanted these two to go at it. And when we did get it, it was kind of like 2v2, where there was shenanigans, da, da, da. We never got them one-on-one. So it is about time.
And this is one of those situations where if, say, Keith Lee did beat Swerve, and then we just move on. Like, well, okay, whatever. Keith Lee beat Swerve. Swerve's angry, but he changes his direction. It's the thing they didn't do with Wardlow and MJF in time. But when Swerve actually wins something, then Keith Lee is already built as like a threat. Because, hey, I beat you before. You never beat me in a singles match. Ah, damn, right? Because that's what they never did with MJF and Wardlow. When MJF won that world title, Wardlow should have came after him way sooner.
I agree.
But it never happened. I think you can do that with Keith Lee and Swerve.
I agree. No, you're absolutely right. I think there is something there where everybody in this situation comes out on top. And even I want to say Shane Taylor, if you need backup, because again, the Mogul Embassy is, they're going to cheat you out your boots, bro. This man cut a promo on this man's baby. He drank that man's blood. He tried to kill Hangman. He don't, he tried to hang Hangman.
Yeah.
He don't care.
Yeah, I'm the Hangman. Yeah. This could blow up into a whole Mogul Embassy versus a Shane Taylor promotion situation too. And Keith Lee's with Shane Taylor promotion all of a sudden, you know?
I wouldn't hate that. Only because, again, I feel like one thing that AEW does well is factions. And these factions can elevate multiple people. So when they do have a singles match, look at Wheeler Yuta. Wheeler Yuta went from yuck, yuck to like, I don't want to wrestle this man. He's crazy. He's kind of crazy.
And it could be just as simple as no one actually causes a distraction that really causes the outcome of the match.
Mm-hmm.
But if those Mogul guys run out there and then Shane Taylor and his crew runs out there to like run them out, fair. Right? That's what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So our next match, we're going to start off with our super chat that we got a while ago from our good friend, Orion Ben. Oh, I thought it was O'Brien this whole time, but again, D is for Lysdexia. 666 says, I think Orange Cassidy, I'm not sure what AAT means. I'm not hip.
All-Atlantic title.
Thank you. I think Orange Cassidy All-Atlantic title is the belt Daniel Garcia comes from after the Continental class.
That's crazy amount of acronyms in there. And like,
yeah, I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I'm a boomer. I'm old.
D2, DG, plus AAT.
See, you trying to sell me drugs? I don't want none of that. That's not a bad shout, honestly. Considering this match, so I'm going to respond to that super chat. Thank you, first of all, with my critique of this match. So let me run down real quick. They start chanting from jump, you're a wrestler. And much like the critique that me and Justin had at the beginning of with Orange Cassidy getting beat up until you win, that's kind of what happened here with Eddie Kingston. And I feel like there's nothing wrong against Daniel Garcia, no shade, in making Eddie Kingston look dominant. There was nothing wrong with that. You could have just had Eddie Kingston go out there and scrub that little young man up. Nothing against him. But at the beginning, that's what it was. Eddie Kingston was trying to kill Danny Garcia. And it came to a point in the match where I stopped caring about the match. I started caring about the story. You could see in Daniel Garcia's eyes, like, bro, I can't go out of here goose egg. I can't go out of here free. I can't go out of here free. And in Eddie Kingston's mind, the two things that I care about the most, my Ring of Honor title and my New Japan title, I'm going to lose it all. If I lose to Daniel Garcia, are you kidding me? Because they would both mathematically be eliminated if the one lost to the other. A spinning back fist, but Daniel Garcia kicks out at two. Kingston then goes in again, but his leg gives out. At that point, Daniel Garcia smells blood in the water and tries to finish it with a leg, whole bunch of leg locks. But that spinning back fist for the last time gets Daniel Garcia. 1, 2, 3, and Garcia is out. Garcia is mathematically eliminated from winning the tournament. The match was good, but it was kind of like heartbreaking. It was kind of heartbreaking.
It was. And like when they first announced this tournament and then they announced the participants in the tournament, oddly enough, I was like, oh, this could really be like a breakout tournament for like a Daniel Garcia or a Mark Briscoe in this company.
Yes.
And it just happened not to be that way. The guys that you would have probably bet your money on to win matches have been winning matches. And the guys that haven't really necessarily. And it's not that it's predictable, because it's not, because sometimes you get like two heavy hitters against each other, mm-hmm, like Swerve and Moxley, where you're like, I don't know who's going to win this. But for the most part, it kind of does suck for Garcia and a guy like Mark Briscoe, because like, yeah, like it doesn't really hurt him because they're already in that position, but I would have liked him to see some points on the board, you know? He had the fighting spirit, you know, when Eddie Kingston was chopping him in the corner, but he would still keep dancing and not stop the dance and showing that like he wasn't. They even made it seem like the ref's going to call the match off because he's not stopping chopping him while he's dancing in the corner. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was hard to watch. And then you had the other element of Daddy Magic on commentary.
Which has been really good because he's been on commentary for the past last couple of Daniel Garcia matches that Daddy Magic has been on. His commentary's actually been really good.
It's been great.
I wouldn't mind him being on commentary, but I don't know. I think Nigel McGuinness might get to him and be a hater.
Yeah, but but what they're trying to do is, like, you know, Daddy Maddox had issues with Garcia not taking his wrestling seriously and caring about the dance being more over. And in Daddy Maddox's eyes, that dance once again cost Garcia a big opportunity, a big match. And there's going to be more to play out on that. So it's not like Garcia's just, like, left with nothing to move forward with. I just wish he had some – all I'm saying is I wish he had some points on the board. But yeah. Also, Eddie Kingston made this crazy, I'm going to put both my titles on the line
too. Yeah.
It's like it was – there was
a lot riding on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say that I do find it a little bit contradictory that Daddy Magic is upset at Daniel Garcia, considering that you guys were in the Jericho Appreciation Society and your name is literally Daddy Magic. Knock it off. Like, come on now. Like, be for real. You guys
I forgot what's his actual name again? Matt Menard.
Yeah, Matt Menard. Like, yeah. Bro, you guys said we're gimmicking it up. And now you're mad that somebody's living the gimmick because it's over. Even if I'm a lose, at least I got my damn dance. What do you got? Yeah. You know what I mean? It sounds like jealousy. Yeah. It sounds like jealousy to me. Only thing I remember that Daddy Magic has ever said is, you want to know what makes Daddy Magic nipples hard? That's the only thing I remember he's ever said. That's the only thing.
He's got a voice. He can cut a solid promo. He actually had a good promo on social media after losing a match not too long ago. But it's just, I don't know what thing, with that entire group with Daddy Magic. We know what Angelo's kind of moving to do with Ruby Soho. There's something going on over there. Yeah, he's madly in love. There's a whole Bollywood film happening over there. But rom-com. But with Jake Hager, Daniel Garcia, Daddy Magic, those are the three where it's like, okay, where are they all going to go next? These three parts. Like, Anna Jay's kind of moved on. Angelo's in love. What are you three going to do? So.
You better figure it out soon. Ladies and gentlemen, you better figure it out soon if you want to leave a super chat or a humper chat. We are at the main event. We are at the home stretch, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I got to put over 5 foot again. The best $5 in the business. Get your scoops from us. I've got an interview coming out. Me, I interviewed a wrestler. Could you believe it? Oh, my God. You can see that on Fightful Select. The best $5.
Are you allowed to say who?
I guess. Am I? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe we'll let
you gotta go and subscribe to Fightful.com, Patreon, Fightful, the $5, $54 in the business. Listen, you're gonna see it. We're all gonna be here. And I want you guys to do the Q&A with Sean Ross at the Q&A with Grapsity, all that fun stuff that happens over there on Fightful Select. Best $5 in the business. We do have another super chat. I'm sorry, a humper chat, Bizarro, Big L. Big Humper Chat, Big Bizarro saying, if Swerve is bringing the Mogul Embassy, Keith Lee is bringing Shane Taylor Promotions to the fight. It will stay 1v1, but Shane is going to, sorry, my brain just blue screen. But Shane is going to play on Bishop Khan's loyalty, former member of Shane Taylor Promotions. So Shane brings in one or two in his crews, and you got meat. And y'all know I love me a good meat match. When you had said earlier, Justin, you think they have too many belts? There's not enough belts. There needs to be a meat division. Somebody. The meat division is genderless. Are you over 300 pounds? In comparison to your size, do you look like you could throw a cow? Welcome to the meat division.
They just throw away the FDW title, bring in the meat title.
Bring in the meat title. And it's Big E's face on the front line.
Big slapping man slapping meat. Big meaty man slapping meat.
I don't want a 30-minute classic.
Those are some of the best matches. I remember when we had All In, and then the week after we had All Out, and I'm like, I don't know if I can go through this pay-per-view, and then Miro and Will Hobbs were just slapping meat.
Bro. So. And the crowd just, meat. Yeah. Meat.
I'm here for it. I mean, there was a lot of meat slapping in this next match, even though Brian's a smaller guy.
Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the main event. I'm going to keep my negative Nancy opinions to myself until the very end.
I want to know
here.
The negative Nancy
opinion. Oh, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. It's going to come out.
Because I get my one negative thing about the Orange Cassidy thing. I want
to
know.
I gotta get through this. I have to be professional. Professional wrestler. Professional first.
Okay.
So, the match that Nigel McGuinness has been looking forward to the whole night finally comes. We got Bryan Danielson versus Brody King. I forgot what Nigel said in the beginning, but my first note literally is Nigel is a professional hater. And this is, again, coming from the same company that employs Stokely Hathaway, who said during the summer that Ring of Honor deserves a champion that doesn't smell like Newports and Burger King in regards to Eddie Kingston. That's some hateration. And Nigel McGuinness, any, you're a clam digger, your wife beats you, you got one eye, you're no good, you don't want to. Nigel McGuinness is a hater. So at the beginning of this match, Brody King was beating the ever-living crap out of Danielson. So much so that his eye patch got ripped off.
More blood. More blood. There's definitely more blood. I don't know what happened, guys. But we are here. Follow me at the Wrestling Classic.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, follow me at the Wrestling Classic. Watch my interviews, write articles, have a podcast. Look up the TWC show wherever you listen to podcasts. You find all my stuff. I've interviewed Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Trish Stratus, Nick Wayne, Ricky Starks, FDR, Malakai Black. You name them, I've interviewed them. Check it out. Yeah, I got OG interviews with MJF and Mariah May before they made it to the big time. We'll hear their stories. But we're back to the blood.
I've also interviewed Bryan Danielson,
but yeah.
I have a very fancy mouse that has a million buttons, and okay. I hit one of the side buttons that said that was the back button. I don't know why you decided that's the back button, but that's what happened. My apologies.
I'm new here. I don't usually go here, and you left me here by myself.
Imagine getting left at Disney World. See you in 6 hours. All these people
watching for you because they know you and you're familiar, like, he just left this guy here.
I've never seen wrestling a day in my life. I don't even know what professional wrestling is. Where am I? I'm
this guy you guys are seeing for the first time. I took my hat off and she disappeared.
When the world needed her the most, she died.
Ray Witch is about to blow up with her negativity. Fightful kicked her out.
Sean Rossap got me, gal. Okay. Yeah. Let's get back on track. We got this. Y'all, we in the home stretch. So at this point, Danielson's patch is off. The underpatch is off. The ref is checking on him. He's like, do you still want to compete? Do you still want to go? And Danielson's like, give it. I don't hear no damn bell. So Brody King squishes this man twice on the outside, gets back into the ring to restart the count. And by this point, Danielson is bleeding from the same injured eye. I wrote Yam Bag City, so I mean, somebody got hit in the wiener. There was a clothesline. Oh, Danielson got hit with the Yam Bag City because he ended up being on the top rope in the middle, and then Brody King get that man with a clothesline from hell. And I'm like, yo, Danielson is dead. I watch Impact every week, and people die every day, B.
they literally kill people off of their show,
bro,
which I think is mind-boggling.
Eric Young got murdered, bro.
Sue Young, where like everyone's just killing people off the show, like people be murdered.
Sue Young technically died, came back as Susie. Technically died, came back as Susan.
They went into a different universe somewhere in late 2016-17, and they never left.
I love Impact. Impact is fantastic. So old boy gets the clothesline off the rope, but it's only a two. So now, Bryan Danielson is about to go into a mega overdrive. He starts hitting Brody King with the stomps, trying to get him to go out. He's like, no. Hitting him with the elbows, no. But somehow, through the elbows, ref don't stop it. Brody King gets up, hits old boy with a Death Valley driver on Danielson, but it's only a two. Danielson somehow recovers, hit this man with a psycho knee, and then Brody King kicks out at one. It's like, I will not be put down. I will not die. This man has to take 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 million psycho knees before he gets the pin.
I absolutely, positively adore, admire, and love Tony Schiavone. He's the voice of my childhood, as cliche as it is. But Danielson hit that first psycho knee, and he's like,
that is one of my... Is it psycho?
I think it's psycho. But you call it a psycho knee, too. I don't know. I personally... Personally, I like your version better. I like the psycho knee.
I think of
because Brian Danielson is a psycho.
Yeah, I thought it was psycho knee, and I'm like, this man is M. Bison out here.
But this is AEW. We're gonna call it Suicide Dive, a Tope Suicida, and we're gonna use all the foreign names. So it's a psycho knee. But the best thing was Tony Schiavone. It's like, I know what he was trying to say. And he's just older now, and sometimes he doesn't get to say that is one of Brian Danielson's moves. And I'm like. I'm like, no way, Tony. And he's like, one of the ones that usually finishes it off. But like, when he was initially, he's like, that's what I'm trying. And this one's like, moves. Like, no.
He's
no
trying, way. He's trying his best, bro. Cut him some slack. He's trying his best.
But great match. I thought this was great. It did not make Brody King not look like a threat at all. It actually made Brody King, I don't know, maybe it's happened in the past and I just don't remember, but this is one of the first times I was like, oh, Brody King really looked like a dominant monster in this match. It was hard to take down.
I will say my critique and my complaint is from the moment this tournament was announced, I'm like, oh, so this is Bryan Danielson's retirement tour. That's fine. But commentary, besides Nigel McGuinness being a hater, all night was putting over that every man, whether you are in the gold or the blue league, is beat up. Everybody's beat up. Everyone's hurt. You've been competing. I think in this situation, Danielson could have taken a loss. He could have absolutely taken. Yo, Brody King beat him up. And this man is wrestling with one eye. So you telling me that this man with one eye, who's always bleeding, who comes back from the brink of death every... So he John Cena in the video game, everything 99, you can't take this man down? You feel me? Like, I don't think it would have hurt Danielson, and I'm not a booker, so this is just me and my lizard brain, so forgive me, y'all. But I don't think it would have hurt Danielson. I think putting Brody King there would spice up the tournament. It's not like Danielson is going to lose. You know what I mean?
I just like, it goes back to what I said when we talked about the Garcia matches. I thought this tournament was going to elevate and make a newer, like, new stars. And I'm not saying it hasn't necessarily, but when your top guys in the tournament are Brian and Moxley, It kind of pulls me off, you know, because it's like, we've done this before. I mean, when the second time Punk left and they had to crown a new champion, it ended up being Brian and Moxley in the finals, right? Like, we sang this song before. You know, when they did their first Owen Hart tournament, and I was thinking, like, oh, this would be a good place to maybe let Darby and Ruby win. They let Adam and Britt win. And I'm like, neither Adam or Britt really needed it at that point of, they're already over.
Yeah.
I feel like AEW is a really, like, when they do something for the first time and it's the first time they're doing it, they have a hard time really using it as a vehicle to elevate new stars, but just being like, look, the first time we did, the top guy won. And that's like, now this could have been like a breakout tournament because you do so many tournaments.
Yeah.
This could have been a breakout tournament for these younger guys and this new Triple Crown title championship. But I'm a huge Bryan Danielson fan. Like I said, I've interviewed him twice. You can watch one of them on my YouTube channel called The Wrestling Classic, cheap plug. But I've been a fan of his for years. He's such a cool guy. I've hung out with him a ton. Moxley's the man. I was from the moment I first saw The Shield, he was like one or two for me the entire time. I don't want to see either one of them win this.
Yeah, I don't think they need it. Like, you could have really, I mean, with Eddie Kingston putting up his belts, I think you could have really done something special here for Eddie Kingston.
Even for Eddie. I just don't think it needs to be Mox, and I don't think it needs to be Brian. And I want to personally avoid it being Swerve because I think there's bigger things on the horizon for Swerve.
I agree with that. 100%.
Because I don't want him to get stuck with these three titles and be like, this is your award for being who you've been and how we built you. I think somehow he does really good in this tournament, but then he moves on to bigger things. Like, we get Swerve in that world title pitch eventually. So, like, it should be an Eddie Kingston. It should be a Mark Briscoe. It should be a Garcia. If you're going to keep that All-Atlantic title in Orange Cassidy, and that's what it is, like, that's what that title means now. And Christian's a TNT championship, which that's good. The top-tier title, you know. Then make these titles on someone, like, I don't know, that's younger that can prosper from it. And, you know, I don't know.
Or someone who's on the rise who could use a little push over the edge. That's why I always will say Eddie Kingston. Because unlike Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy, who get beat up the whole match and then win, people automatically want to root for Eddie Kingston. If you made Eddie Kingston your first Triple Crown champion, can you imagine?
The dark horse in this might be Andrade.
I would love that for Andrade. There's so many names in this tournament, like you said, where it doesn't need to be Mox and Danielson at the end.
Yeah, it could be Roosh, which I'm not like fully behind the Roosh movement. I think he's great. I haven't been fully invested in, but Andrade is someone like that's a dark horse. Eddie Kingston could win this. We know Mark and Garcia are technically out. Jay Lethal's technically out. But like, look at the names I'm saying. Like, all these guys could have been elevated in this tournament, but it's a lot of Brian and Mox.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have another super chat here from our good pal, Braden Senpai. Thank you so much. I think you have Takeshita BOC for the belt. I saw a sign in the crowd that said that you should have Takeshita take the belt off of Orange Cassidy. I don't hate that because it's new. It's different. I'm all about doing new things here in AEW land. I think that'd be Don Callis would be insufferable, TLDR. And I love Don Callis because he's already insufferable. But I'm sorry, go ahead. No.
Just going to say, I don't know if they know what to do with Orange Cassidy if he doesn't have that belt.
I don't want to agree with you, but I think you're right. I don't want to agree
with you. They would find something for sure. I just don't think they're like, what is there?
I don't know. Maybe like John Moxley, have him take a break. Let him go to Disney World. Let him go to the French Alps and get a massage. Because I will say Orange Cassidy and John Moxley, every time they want to take a break, something happens and here they go back again. So they both deserve to go to Disneyland, and Tony Khan deserves to give them personally a deep tissue massage. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that was Collision on 12/16/2023. Justin, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Justin, where can people find you if they're interested in more of your wrestling content?
Firstly, I'm going to say subscribe to my YouTube channel because I should probably try getting more subscribers. I don't promote as much as I should. So it's really just the Wrestling Classic on YouTube. Please subscribe. There's a ton of interviews and old TWC podcast episodes and plus a bunch of other random stuff. But the main hub for me is the Wrestling Classic on Instagram. I do have a Twitter. It's TWC Worldwide. Follow me on there too. I'm not as popular on Twitter. I should probably raise that as well. But Instagram is my main hub. You click the links in my bio, you'll find links to all my important stuff, articles, etc., etc. And I would appreciate the support. And I'd love to. I'm very appreciative for you guys having me on here on this Collision post show for Fightful. I'm a big Fightful fan. I've followed along, the website for years, trying to get my inside scoops. The best $5 in the business.
He's already ready. Listen, I'm not the scoops girl. The only scoops I got is ice cream. Anywhere else? Where was your? What's your Twitter? What's your? I think
the Twitter's TWC Worldwide because the Wrestling Classic's too long for Twitter. That's the only thing. But everything else is the Wrestling Classic. YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. I got like 45,000 followers on TikTok. That's also the Wrestling Classic. It's just Twitter's TWC Worldwide.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Cresta Star. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Cresta Star, except for X, Twitter, whatever the kids are calling
it. Oh, yeah.
It's Cresta the Star. Elon Muskrat got me, girl. But that's fine. I'm still here. I'm like a cockroach. You can't get rid of me. And much like wrestling, we love you guys. And we're here at the end. Don't forget to leave us a thumbs up if you're watching wherever or you're listening wherever. You guys have been fantastic. Justin, it's been fantastic with you. And guys, take care of yourself and each other. You could have been anywhere on the internet, even the hub, but you were here with us and we appreciate it. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. Bye-bye now.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.